Hello, video game fans, and welcome back to the Patriot Cast, your video game podcast of casual banter and all that good stuff. My name is Andrew. I'm back hosting duties as always, and with me I have three of the most faithful co-hosts anyone could wish for. These are the three guys that got you through E3. A little tease in here. Through E3 in the last week, and they did a fantastic job, if I may say so myself. I don't know which order I should start with. I'll start with, From New Zealand, as always, we have our very faithful, if not sometimes negative, Patriot Cast co-host, Mr. Jordan White, is joining us. Jordan, how are you?
Hey, everyone. It's great to be here on the show sponsored by the letter T.
The show is sponsored by crack. You know, Timor, okay. Anyway, so yes, Jordan is back, as always. And also from California, from where it just happened, from Los Angeles, Mr. Javier Bustamante is joining us. Javier, how are you?
I'm good, everyone. How are you doing?
We're all doing good. We're doing great. It's great to be back together as a team. We're like the four Ninja Turtles, you know. who's who, but it's great. And our special correspondent back back in the old UK, the good old UK, Toby, you're back. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Jet lagged, but glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm talking like I'm jet lagged. I'm actually talking more like I've been hit over the head of a brick a couple of times. I'm math lagged. I've been doing nothing but math for the last six days. It really gets to you. You want to cut yourself. And the only break I have is playing L.A. Noire, which is a kind of a weird, But anyway, yes, so, gentlemen, you're all back. You're all back from the mission. You know, now we can relax. We can look back on the show that was E3 2011. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off by going in chronological order with the actual the press conferences. So we're going to start off with Microsoft, then Sony, then Nintendo, and then we're going to go off with the big reveals this year's E3. You know, the disappointments, the surprises, the nice things, the not so nice things. Just what we generally what we think about, and I think each one of us will have something very interesting to say. So let me start off. So day zero. I don't know why people call it day zero. Just call it day one. So because I mean, it's, you know, Sony and Microsoft always have their conferences on day zero, and EA, I think, and Ubisoft. So there's a lot of stuff happening. So let's just call it the first day. So the first day happens, and the very first conference that opened up the show was Microsoft. And I caught the end of it live, and I had to rewind. Just coming back from an exam. And so, Microsoft, right. I don't really know where to start. Javier, you've got a good point. Kojima was day one. Day zero.
Konami.
Are we talking about that interactive thing that we talked about the show?
Yeah, before? Online.
I downloaded it, and when I was on the train back home, I watched it, and there was a lot of awkwardness in there. I liked the bit where the guy was just standing there for half an hour, a bit behind, like obviously it was a green screen, and he's like, Konami is always innovation. Konami bring you Metal Gear Solid. Konami bring you Pro Evolution Soccer. That's hilarious. And that bit of Kojima was really awkward as well. They go in the elevator and they're just standing there. I think Kojima's becoming, you know, I love him and everything, but he's becoming a bit of a tease. Like, they go in there and it's like, yes, there are a lot of drawing for Metal Gear Rising, which I will not talk about. And I'm like, and this dude's just there, like, so. Even the dude was like, so you're not going to talk about it more. And when is it coming out? It is 2012. And, you know, they're teasing, and then they're not talking about anything. Javier, you were the guy mainly covering it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Kojima actually is adopted Andy's policy of not talking about Rising anymore.
Yeah, and even though he's really making it.
And I think their Kojima Productions bit was more like that, like being tongue in cheek. Where like the computer elevator and they have the guys from Mega 64 doing
that was good. I like that when he was like lugging the TV around. That was good. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to explain to you guys the other day, but I had just seen it and I was kind of not sleep deprived, but I had gone to sleep like at 4 a.m. and stuff. And I couldn't remember exactly everything, but yeah, I wanted to tell you guys the people, and I didn't remember their name, and then I was talking at the same time, so I'm like, I can't look for the name. Mega 64. They always do things for Kojima, I guess, or they always like, I don't know how, like they got in the inner circle with Kojima.
I heard a podcast with them on over E3. They were guesting on Joystick Podcast, and the dude was saying, from Mega 64, was saying they did that one thing with while he was at GDC where he turns up at the end. Mm-hmm. And then they one day got this email saying, you know, they wanted to do this transferring thing, and they blew their mind, so they just flew out there and did it. And that bit with the TV in the shop is amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty. I think that was probably the highlight for me, which is...
I just said that woman who's in the store, you know, showing him off, she doesn't know that she's like in front of thousands and thousands of people.
I think Borat kind of pioneered it in the last decade. You know, this kind of really awkward humor where people don't really know. So the Kojima thing, it was interesting. He concentrated on this the transferring, which, you know, I watched, and isn't this just transferring save files from one system to another, really? At least the way I understand it. It's, you know, you play... And getting into... we actually saw Peace Walker. I see, we're jumping all over the place. But I just want to finish off Kojima talk at the start of the show. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't kind of, you know, keep on bringing us back. So I'm more excited right now for the HD re-releases of the three games than I am for Rising, because I know those things are coming out for sure, and Rising isn't. And I'm very excited for them, but I saw the footage, you know, and we were talking about this last week. The way we thought the games were going to be like upscaled, but what's really happening is they're just smoothing out the textures. It's the same textures. I think they're just smoothing out the frame rate. You know, I had a look, and It's just really the aspect ratio. That's all they're doing. There is no correction. They still look the same. And I think, you know, it's not going to look too good, to be honest with you guys. It's you know, the polygonal structure of those models really wasn't designed for HD televisions. I'm still going to get it, but and Peace Walker itself, Peace Walker. I don't care what people say. Peace Walker looks the same as it did in the PSP. At least the footage I saw, it looks identical. And I want to talk about MGS with the 3DS. Well, what do we think about this whole thing? Who was the first? I think Toby.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, the main difference of Peace Walker is now you got another analog stick, which is pretty awesome. It doesn't look fantastic, but I guess it's a good thing that they're all coming to. You know, it makes it a lot more accessible for people. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, Jordan, I have a feeling you want to say something here, Jordan.
Actually, that's pretty damn good. I didn't even hit the T letter on the keyboard.
I can feel the anger.
Mine's a one.
Yeah, yeah.
You had the letter terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually laughed when Toby said it's got a second analog stick, which is awesome. I'm like, I'm imagining it like next year it'll be three analog sticks. And you're like, that's insane! Yeah, this transferring thing and the Peace Walker resolution, bumping, smudging, smearing. I haven't seen too much of these upscaled ones, but yeah, I did see a little bit of Peace Walker, and it didn't look great to my eyes. But, you know, I'm not exactly critical of that game, so...
So the transferring is there. And then that was interesting how there was that specific moment where Kojima took the proverbial dagger and stabbed it through PlayStation's back while it wasn't watching, where he picked up, when he says that, he's like, oh, this is my new Fox engine. As you can see, it's cross-platform. And then he waved over the mouse, the PS3, and the Xbox controller. He's like, but let's pick this one. And he picks up the Xbox. It's just like, fuck you, Sony. Fuck you. And I thought that was very deliberate. And, maybe there were some internal things going on that they're trying to get back to, but have you?
Yeah, no, I think that the white screen and the smoothing of the games is just so we can have them on the PS3. And Peace Walker, pretty much when I saw the video online, I mean, it's not the best resolution, but I could tell that it was pretty much the same. I mean, it doesn't look like they actually went into the actual game and did anything to it. Like you said, I'm still gonna play them. I'm still gonna get them and play them just because they're gonna be available on the PS3. Mm. I like that they're widescreen and you know it's a little bit smoother than before. And yeah, the models still kind of look a little bit weird, but you know whatever. I'm still gonna get them. I'm still gonna play them. And what you were just talking about with the Kojima stabbing PlayStation in the back with picking the 360 remote, I didn't think any of it. I just like when I saw the video online and then saw like comments from people, I'm like, come on, this is that doesn't mean anything. Like to me, it doesn't mean anything that he picked a 360 remote. He could have picked a piece of crap and start playing it, and it wouldn't have meant anything to me.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting that you think so. I don't know. I mean, there seems to be something almost deliberate. Maybe I'm reading into it too much. But
yeah, Jordan? I think it's too much in between the lines.
Jordan.
Yeah, I would have to say that they did make a big deal back in the day about this. Oh, the next rising and everything at Xbox 360, Microsoft, because I do think. I think all the developers have seen, you know, Sony lost almost all their exclusives, it seems, to the PlayStation 3. And it seems like they know that the puck has gone somewhere else, to use their analogy all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems that they're all focusing on Microsoft a hell of a lot, or they say cross-platform, and that means it's sort of like a PS3 and a Wii port, you know. It's like the Xbox 360 is the main hardcore console now, I think, and so that's why they do tend to focus on when it's offered for that engine. And I would like to say about that Fox engine thing, man, you can tell it's their graphic artists. It reminds me a hell of a lot like just everything in Snake Eater, just the setting, the way they draw trees and everything.
I thought it was like when I saw it from far away, there was a horse there, and I was like, maybe they just updated a level from Snake Eater, but it turned out to be some.
And it had that lost angle too, you know, like Walt and the dog, and everything. It was really weird though, but you could tell, even though this is next gen, you could tell it was still the same, like the team that draws like a Metal Gear Solid 3 and everything, just the trees and everything. So yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well let's close the Kojima topic off, at least until we get to the 3DS. Xbox first conference. You know, there is this three-way war, if you will, of who wins E3. So Xbox starts up, and I saw them, and as always, they start off with their proverbial third-party games that come out for every console, but they just like to show them, like, Modern Warfare 3. And Modern Warfare 3, look, you know, they were on boats, there was, you know, under New York, it's flooded. That looked pretty, you know, it looked like Modern Warfare 2, which looked like Modern Warfare 1. I mean, those are good games, and I'm going to play it. Nothing too superb. Toby.
I have a feeling, you know, this may be my spidey senses. The real subtext here was Kinect, and I'm being sarcastic, obviously. but yeah, that was pretty much, aside from Gears of War, Halo, and yeah, that lot, it was pretty much entirely Kinect. Which, I mean, actually, some of the stuff was kind of Minority Report-ish, especially with like the Ghost Recon thing, where he's like pulling apart the weapons. That was pretty damn cool, but none of it is that exciting otherwise. It's all on rails. And
I think, yeah, that's the point. You see, that's the thing. Okay, so you guys were talking about this last episode. It was one of the E3 episodes about Kinect Star Wars. And you were like, don't say it. Andrew's going to edit this. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, it's kind of like a weird crossfade. I think they were doing Disney, and then from Disney, it just went to Star Wars. There was no smooth transition. I think the guy behind doing the transitions, well, I think he was out for a fag or something. But anyway, so Star Wars comes in there. Star Wars Kinect, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to be a geek and to go into the fact that continuity where I didn't even think Cloud City existed in the Clone Wars period. But the fact is that game just looked bad to me. And, you know, Star Wars is my life. You know, it's OG. You've got to represent. But the dude there, he looked really like stressed. He was like, I think he was one of the people maybe auditioning for the role of Anakin back when they were casting them. But like, he looked stressed, you know. And he's doing these things, and I could not imagine how to play that game. Like, he failed using the Force on the Trade Federation tank the first time. It was like he tried to lift it up and then it went back down. So then he lifted up for the second time. That game looked awkward as hell to play, and I hate to hate on Star Wars because, you know, but that game just looks bad. Like, the awkwardness of controlling it must have been... Ah, who wants to speak next? I mixed up the T's. Who was next? Javier, I think you were next.
I think Toby wanted to go next.
Yes, sorry. No, okay, Javier.
Okay, I'll go next. Yeah, I don't know about the Star Wars game or whatever exactly happened on the Microsoft conference, as I didn't really watch it, and I was just reading tweets about it, but the most I read was, you know, it was uneventful, and I also read that there was nothing really that exciting coming out of it. Having said that, I thought that the Kinect idea for Star Wars was okay, but
How the hell do you run in that game? How do you run? That's why Toby said all the Kinect games are on rails. How do you run?
Exactly. I still don't know. Like, because with motion controlling, you can't do those things unless you start running in place. And yeah, and that's the only way you can do it. Like, you start running in place, and it'll probably make your character move. But then, okay, let's say you wanna turn right, then you're gonna have to turn your body to the right or something. I don't know how they're gonna do that. I mean, it seems like a little bit feasible, like you could still do it, but it's gonna be kind of confused, especially if you have to turn your back to the game, like if somebody's attacking you from behind or something like that.
I think that's at least my biggest problem with Kinect, where in the case of the Wii, they put the nunchuck in there because they realized people can't, you know, that they would have to walk around. Kinect seems to only appeal to party games on rails, and racing games where, you know, you can, there's just the wheel and the acceleration. When you're playing, you know, something like something like Assassin's Creed or Force Unleashed, or you know, any of those games, even first person shooters where you have to move, that game, the Star Wars Kinect, you know, it's I can't imagine honestly playing that game, and I think you get tired out as well, the amount of times things are going to go wrong. Jordan.
Yeah, I actually wanted to defend on rails gaming to a certain extent. There's one particular game that everyone knows and everyone likes, and it makes the Sony fanboys go "Meow!" because they hate that it's so successful, and it's called Infinity Blade. And it is sort of like the ultimate on rails game. You automatically basically teleport between fights, and then it's all just like finger slash and goodness. And I have to admit, with Kinect, I haven't played around with it much. I've seen it. I haven't really played around with it. The walking thing is a big hassle, obviously. I don't know. Maybe you can step forward, and as long as you stay forward, it keeps walking forwards, and you step back to go back to the back, or I don't know. It sounds like it does need a control, doesn't it? A joystick, at least. You know, one. Not two. None of those fancy-pants two joysticks business. Just needs one.
But does that mean that Every single game is going to have to be on rails. Every single Kinect game is going to have to be on rails. It's like, and now, Batman Arkham Asylum, on rails. And now, we have Modern Warfare 3, on rails. And, you know, it's just...
Maybe with the next version of Kinect, when it's so good to track individual fingers and everything, maybe you can just put, like, your thumb forwards as if you've got one of your imaginary joysticks that everyone seems to love so much. You know, we're used to making that stupid-ass gesture all the time with a little bit of plastic under it. So maybe we can be like, beep! Beep, you know. Maybe it'll be that good since we all love moving our thumbs so much. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's next generation Kinect. It makes you buy it again.
Definitely. Okay, Toby. Toby.
Well, yeah, I think they kind of need to drop this whole "you are the Kinect, you are the controller" sort of slogan, because I don't think it's a bad idea per se. Like, do you see the Mass Effect thing in the Microsoft thing where you can just... with the Kinect, you can just say the lines and your character says it, and that's pretty cool. Like, I don't know, and being able to command your squad, but doing that with a controller, like, I wouldn't mind like doing that, you know, playing games with a controller. And they're saying all first party Microsoft games from now on are going to have Kinect enabled in some form, so that's not such a bad idea. It's just when they try to really force it with, you know, with the Star Wars thing and stuff like that, which it doesn't really work.
Definitely, yeah. I think I think it'll be much better integrated if they kind of admit the fact that okay, this is an interesting piece of kit, but you know, use it with the controller, you know, because they're trying to kind of segregate it completely away from.
Don't put all their eggs in one basket.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it will work a lot better. And it seems like what Nintendo have done, but let's not move on to that. Okay, Javier, you're gonna say last thing. I just want to clear off. Okay, so Microsoft. In my opinion, Microsoft are being slightly underwhelming. The big thing in the end was like Halo 4, but is it Bungie developing Halo 4? Or
343 Industries.
Okay,
they've never done it.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, so you know, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean 4. It's like just get it out there and yeah. Okay, Javier, finish off the Microsoft.
No, I think it was kind of interesting. You were talking about the Star Wars game, and then you started talking about racing games, and we have this the Star Tours from Disney. I don't know if any of you guys have ever even seen it.
If I could only go on the new one.
I just pasted the link there so you guys can watch the commercial whenever you want, and it's pretty funny because I was just reading online the other day. Somebody said. If Admiral Akbar doesn't say it's a trap, then I'm gonna be disappointed.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty funny. But you know, games like something like that, like you know, let's say the Star Tours thing, it's something that you know can be easily done on the Kinect because all you do is you have to sit down and you know, and then you'll have this imaginary you know steering wheel or something that you can use to play the game, but. It's like you guys are saying. There's a certain limitation about doing it. And if they're gonna enable pretty much all the games in some way or another to use the Kinect, it doesn't just have to be the controllers. It could be like Toby said, like you can say something and the character would repeat it, which is pretty interesting to me because I think all I would say is bad words all the time and hear my character say it. But it'll be pretty interesting. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say.
Definitely, yeah. Okay, well, yeah, so Microsoft, let's move on to another. I think that's the way personally I sum up this E3. You know, it's... So PlayStation. PlayStation's main focus this year was, I don't want to call it that name because can we still call it the NGP? It's like when Prince changed his name to that symbol. People still call him like Prince. I don't have anything against the name. I just don't think it's very good.
Can I jump in?
Yes, Jordan. I have a feeling you've been. I can feel you projecting your hatred from here.
Yeah, it's a bit like when Michael Jackson went white. You know, he was still a black man, so I suggest that we still call it the NGP.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be more to that, but obviously not. Jordan's conserving his hatred. Yeah, so the PlayStation Vita, is that right? Is that how we say it now, officially? I think we'll get used to it, you know. Got used to the Wii, got used to Google, got used to all this stuff. I mean, they showed a bunch of things, mainly Uncharted, and, you know, Uncharted looks interesting, and it's there, and then, you know, they kind of apologize for their screw-up, and, you know, that kind of stuff. Who wants to say anything about the PlayStation conference? Yes, Toby, you say something.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a triumph. Well, not triumph. Maybe that's a bit strong, but I thought it was really good considering you know their pretty terrible year. They did spend quite a lot of time on the Move and PSV, but it's looking pretty sweet. I mean, I was sad there wasn't a GTA 5 announcement, but you can only
that's why I held off. I said I wanted it, but I didn't think it was going to happen. It's just. That
I don't know. I was quite sure, but it turns out,
it's like one of the few games I still really, really feel passionate for, and I don't know. I think overall Sony they had the most forgetful conference. I don't know, Jordan. Do you not want to say anything about the NGP at all?
Oh man, yeah. I'm just trying to be polite to the other guy since I interrupted before. But I'll get it out of the way.
Yeah,
my hatred for the Vita thing, it knows no bounds, and the fact that they made it, the Vita, I mean, I can almost like respect NGP as a name. I'm kind of used to it. Next generation portable, you know, PlayStation's a silly term. Next generation portable, I can get used to that. NGP, it's just the NGP. Short, simple. PSV, did you say a PSP or did you say a PS3? No, it's just my New Zealand accent. I just said a V, you know, like V, like victory. It's confusing as hell, and I just think it's a bad name. But I'd like to mention a John Carmack story. He said, of the Vita, I wouldn't want to be the executive making the decision to launch a new portable gaming machine in the post-smartphone world. I think that they've picked as eminently a suitable hardware spec as they could for that. But of course, by the time they actually ship, there may be smartphones or these tablets with these tablet things, you know, with twice as much power as they're shipping with on there. And a year or two after that, it's going to look pretty pokey. So yeah, I'm not that keen on a dedicated sort of gaming thing right now. And the Vita thing, yeah, I'm really not a fan of that crazy name.
At least the 3DS has kind of a catch behind it, you know, where, you know, look, 3D. Okay, Javier.
Yeah, speaking of the 3DS, I played it the other day. I thought the 3D effects were pretty good, but it's still kind of not my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And the PSV, how I would like to call it, since me and Toby came out with a name. I think as a portable, it's a good idea, and regardless of whatever cell phones and smartphones can do or tablets can do, all they can do is apps. They can't do games. So a game is different than an app. It's not the same thing. An app is really short. You finish really fast, and the only thing you can do is just keep racking up levels and racking up levels and racking up levels. There is not going to be Metal Gear Solid 4 app. There's not going to be a Halo app. There's not going to be a really big game app. It's impossible to make it. You can't make it. And every time I look for the apps, I can see that there's no big app, you know, that you can really play. It's not the same thing. Even though I see Jordan here in the chat
about to explode. Okay,
about to explode.
he's putting me on. He's calling every name under his hand. Jordan, would you like to say something?
Yeah. Mr. Javier, I think that America place, I know he's in a different time zone. It's a couple of hours ago, but yeah, he's definitely living in the past there. Look, as someone in the future, I already have 2GB plus apps. That Elements one on my iPad, it's like a periodic table kind of thing with all kinds of interaction. That's about, more like 1.7. Well, yeah. I think it's 1.7GB, sorry, not 2, but you know, there's no reason why an app couldn't take up the whole damn device. It's not like it has a certain disk limit, you know, like the SD card or whatever. I think Mr. Javier and Mr. Jordan have a huge disagreement, and maybe someone else can talk before I scream again.
I think what Javier is trying to say is it's not necessarily just the size; it's the kind of fidelity with controls. The tablets just can't get anywhere near doing what controller and dedicated game consoles are doing. They don't. I mean, they may have the graphical power, but they don't have the processing power, and they won't. You know, in any short period of time. Certainly not when the PSP.
Yeah, I mean, it's different to talk about that a game that you can play on a phone or a tablet than a game that you can actually play on a console. And it's a game you can play both on PS3 and on PSP, because that's what eventually Sony going to do. It's not just gonna be one console. It's gonna be two consoles that can play the same game pretty much at the same time. And I know and I understand that for phones and for tablets, they move at a faster pace. But it's because it's easier to make them. I guess I am not sure how the manufacturing work. But I it sounds like if it's easier to make them and just put a new one every year, because everyone is gonna want to buy it. And when you talk about game consoles, you are limiting your market just to pretty much to gamers and maybe families who like to game, because there is other families who who say, no, that's a, you know, that's a waste of time, or you know, we can waste our money in something better, things like that.
The
so
cult. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. Drink this punch. You know? Getting a bit extreme there. Yeah.
Yeah. So
continue.
No. That's pretty much my thought.
All right, Jordan.
Yeah, these guys are sounding a bit like a Sony commercial I saw. You know that one with the nerdy, awkward white guy, and he's like, "My fuck can play games," and the black kid called Mark is like, "Those are big boy games. Get the console, the PSP," and it's like the world's shittiest games on the PSP, like some kind of demolition derby thing, and it's running at like a quarter the resolution of my little phone. You know, it's like four times the resolution of that damn PSP.
This is the PSP though.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, those aren't big boy games. Get the PSP, bro. It's like the nerdy white guy's like, wow. I'm so nerdy. I like the iPhone. I'm a nerdy, awkward white guy. You're a cool black guy with a PSP. It's like, you know, you want to be the little black kid on the school bus, you know, going to school, the 10-year-old kid with a PSP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm going to give up my driver's license and passport and everything for that. You know, real good move, Sony. So they have smartphone gaming. Then they bring out this Xperia Play thing, which is like the most desperate, hey, guys, we can do the games too on a phone thing you can imagine.
Which is kind of contradictory, and, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, just a little bit, Mr. Andrew Blythe. Just a little bit. So I've always imagined the perfect solution is just to have your phone or whatever and have it with a remote, you know, gamepad, you know, like how the PS3 and the Xbox do.
Yeah.
And technically, there's no reason why you can't run it jailbroken and just use the damn thing, but I think an official one would be quite cool. So I'd like to hear what Javier and Toby have to say about that, maybe about having a gamepad.
I think that PlayStation should have got like some gangster rap, like 50 Cent, to endorse it or something. You know, this kid's playing on the bus.
$1,200 smartphone in the hood, y'all.
I'm just choking. 50 Cent comes up there. Shit, man. Shoots up the phone.
2-year contract with the ANT, bro.
Yeah. Toby, I think you were first all the way back then, so go on.
Yeah, I was just saying, I love loads of games on you know, iPads and iPhones, but I just think that, you know, until Apple can make proper games, which they won't be able to, they're not a games company, you're not going to see anything that is the level of stuff like LA Noir, GTA. It's just not workable, even if it is technically workable. It's just not going to happen. And
guys, sorry, Toby, I really wanted to be in one of the shows because, in my opinion, out of the three keynotes at E3. I have to say my favorite by far was Apple's at WWDC because that was the most eventful one. It was actually happening at the same time as the Microsoft one finished, and I watched that one as well. And I'm going to tell you, you know, if Apple were in the game, I think, you know, and they got the right people and everything, they would clear out, because the WWDC they cleared out with, you know, Snow Leopard, the pricing, the features, iOS 5, features, everything. Did you watch the
gaming is a completely different thing, though.
But the thing is, though, they're never awkward. You know, when I watch the Microsoft one, there's a lot of awkward moments. They bring up random people wearing, like, sport tracksuits with sunglasses talking about why I should care about Kinect.
They can do a presentation, but they wouldn't necessarily be able to make the game.
No, but I'm saying is they just need to recruit the right types of people. You know, they just need to buy out EA or someone. And but I think they'll be able to, you know, because a lot of it's about selling. You know, it's about selling. And even you've got Iwata now admitting that they didn't sell the Wii U properly in the conference, and their stocks and shares fell and that kind of stuff. And he's regretting it. I think for a trade show like E3, I think it's all about selling what's your thing, because, you know, people aren't playing it yet. Jordan, big tease.
Yeah, I mean, speaking about awkward, I mean, we've seen how, you know, Microsoft isn't a cool brand, right? I mean, it seems almost hip to like Microsoft now with the Zune. Oh, iTunes is terrible, we love the Zune, and talking about their crazy cloud things, and Windows 8's going to be insane. It's almost like it's so untrendy to like it that it's now the hipster thing to like Microsoft. But, you know, the Xbox is a cool brand and everything. People like Xbox, but they don't like Microsoft, do they? And Sony, I don't think Sony's exactly a shining, you know, a gem at the moment. Apple just has the cool factor to it, so I guess it would be quite easy for them if they had a serious, like, we are Apple, we are going to make these proper games, according to Javier and Toby's definition, it would be easy for them to get developers, just like all the ones jump shipped to the Xbox 360, like, let's get the hell out of here, you know, the sinking ship thing of the PS3. You know, they all jumped ship. Oh, I think he's... Hey, you think one-on-one with Steve Jobs, you think anyone can resist his will when he uses the actual Force? You know, not that Kinect version of the Force, but the actual...
Chokes the bitch.
One, yeah, chokes the
bitch. I find that's your life very disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's worn the same clothes for decades now, the exact same clothes, and he somehow made that cool, yeah. So he can make anything cool.
Definitely, yeah. Javier, I'm sorry, you've been wanting to talk for a long time, please.
I mean, I think we're kind of going a little bit more towards the fanboy side of each one of us, because, you know, I love PlayStation, and I picked the PlayStation not only because I love PlayStation, but also because I wanted a Blu-ray Blu-ray player, and it's a good one. And you know, just directing to Jordan, it's Apple has still not convinced me of any proper games. So you can still say that they, you know, they are good at doing games, but I'm still not convinced on the proper games side. And I can see how Apple would be able to make a game console and would be able to do all these same things that the other companies are doing, but they choose not to because they're Apple. They're different. And talking about, you know, anything that comes out on, you know, for the PS3 and the PS Vita or whatever you want to call it, it's that's just gaming to me. The phones and the tablet things are a little bit different, you know. It's, to me, it's not the same.
Okay, well, it's interesting how, you know, everyone here seems to have a clear split in what they think. But okay, let's chop off the Sony conference. So once again, underwhelming. I think, meh. I'm not ever going to remember it. Nintendo. Okay, Nintendo had the big hopes. Nintendo, you know, this was the big thing. You know, people were excited for it. It was trending on Twitter. Everyone was talking about it. It was the thing. It was the it factor. And you know, they come up in there, and you get Miyamoto, and he's, you know, they get the Zelda orchestra, and it's like, oh, blah 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 blah. And they just, you know, just stretching out the, you know, the excitement, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you had Reggie, and Reggie comes out, and he's like, we're not going to show you, we're just going to talk some market PR bullshit at you for a bit, you know. It's about innovation, it's about old and new, and blah, blah, blah. And then they finally show the controller, and that kind of stuff. And it was interesting. You know, they didn't really... They said they showed everything which they said the console was going to be. And initially, that first kind of scissor reel footage, I have to say, I was buying it. You know, I was into it. You know, you throw the stars at the screen and that kind of stuff. I think the hardware they have, it's not the best, but this is just like the Wii. Its Achilles heel is going to be support and software. And that's where I think they screwed up, where they were like, well, Super Smash Bros. Is going to be coming out for it, but I don't want to talk about it anymore. And, you know, they're showing these tech demos. But the thing is, I think this is all going to be about support, and a third-party support as well, definitely. Because if we're going to get some more shovelware like we did in the Wii, where, like, let's make a PS2 game and add Waggle to it, then this is going to be doomed. But I think if developers really believe in this and utilize this properly, I think this could really bring back the hardcore market and add some... a new dimension of playability. Toby, seeing that you were there, did you get a chance to play it?
Yeah, I did. I think the thing is, they felt like they needed to come out with a console, but they clearly just don't have the games ready. I do think, you know, there's been loads of developers over the past couple of days, like, you know, saying that they're super excited to work with it, you know, and they are, you know, Battlefield and stuff like that, they are all coming to it. It's just, it's been awkward in the way that, you know, they haven't been actually able to show that working on them. But I think it could work really well. And I know the controller looks kind of awkward, but it's not actually that bad to use. I think it's pretty good.
What games did you play on it?
I played this game called Shield Pose. tech demo, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just... using the thing as a shield to to block darts or arrows or whatever from a 2D pirate ship in the distance. It's also kind of to the beat as well. It's kind of like a rhythm game, and you move it around, and you can only see it on the screen of the controller and stuff. And also, I found out some new stuff about the in terms of there only being one controller. There are games that kind of utilize it. There's this chase game where the person who has the Wii U pad is being chased, and then the rest of the four other or the three other Wiimote controller go around chasing them, and then they just all use the big screen, and that's quite a cool idea. It just shows it can be used for good, you know, for proper ideas.
So can you have two of those Wii U controllers?
It doesn't seem like you can.
That's the crap bit, isn't it? I mean, I think they could still amend that, but to me, it almost seems, thinking back at it now, they didn't really once show a clear close-up of the actual console. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a new console, but apart from the graphics, all this is, I think, is just like the Move or the Kinect, where this is just a new Wii controller, really. You know, it's
But it is a lot more. Yeah, it is a lot more powerful, though.
But yeah, if what I'm saying is, if the original Wii was as powerful as the 360, all you would have needed to do is just put another controller in there, you know?
Yeah, so yeah.
That seems to be the big thing. Do you think you're going to buy this?
I probably will end up doing it, even though I'll probably regret it like I did the 3DS. But yeah, I probably will.
Oh, you're already regretting the 3DS, are you?
Yeah, kind of. Especially since I was like, oh, great. Snake Eater 3DS is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out that the Metal Gear Solid HD collection is coming out, so I can play Snake Eater on that anyway. So,
but what
yeah.
about Zelda? You know, what about that game?
That's true. That is the one game I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
And Mario and Metroid and what else?
Well, you know, the original DS had a really slow build up. Maybe we'll get better. You know, you're gonna get Smash Brothers for it. I always wanted to get Smash Brothers for the DS. You know, but that's like
it's more fun on a console, Smash Brothers.
I guess it would be, yeah. But maybe you can play like console and no, that probably won't happen. Anyway, never mind.
Nah.
Right. So, I think it's a cool idea where you can stream the games to the actual controller. But do you think you'd be able to stream, for example, if you're playing something like Battlefield or Arkham Asylum? Do you think you'll just be able to turn the telly off and stream the full game? Or do you think this is just going to be like a map?
I think it's going to be different for each game. They said for some games that it will be things, you know, extra things like maps or inventories. But but other ones you will be able to just turn off the TV and use it as... I think it's all different because, you know, you can be... In some games, you know, you can turn around a full 360 degrees and there's still game world behind you even though you're facing the different direction to the television.
Again,
which is quite fun. Like,
it's all about the development, isn't it? It's all about the choice that the developer makes to implement. But do you know what I think? I think once the guys jailbreak this, they're going to have some fun with this because I think there'll be a lot of things Nintendo won't really unlock. You know, you'll be able to play like two games at the same time. I think once they'll jailbreak, it'll be really good. But anyway, the console's not even out yet. All right, what do the rest of you think about this? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first since I already teed. I think as a concept, the whole thing with the Wii U, it seems like a cool thing, you know, being able to hold that massive controller that Jordan hates so much with the Neanderthal bumped into it, it's just a cool concept. If they would have showed us something else than just, you know, dodging or shielding yourself from darts on the screen and you know, whatever, being able to turn the that feature, being able to turn to, you know, behind you and there's still like something there, it seems like a cool idea. It's not like you're just like going across a screen or something. It's pretty much kind of like real life, and it's something that I would I would like to see like in, you know, more deeply and see more things about it, and I hope that you could maybe stream your game into, you know, into the controller if you like, if somebody else feels like watching TV or something, and you can put it, because it even has headphones into a headphone port built into it, so it would be cool if you can do that instead of, you know, instead of having to take out the whole TV for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. That's, yeah, again, well, you know, it's all about the developers. And, I'm cautiously optimistic for this. I probably won't get it. I don't know. It depends because that's, these consoles are all about the game lineup. And as Toby said, you know, the 3DS, it's, it's not looking too good right now. this, it might, you know... I really can't call it. You know, it's. I think it's nice they're trying to get back to the whole. You know, they really emphasize the fact that, you know, we want to get back to the hardcore gamers, but we don't want to leave the others around. But it doesn't seem like the overall press is too thrilled with it. Jordan, any words on this?
Any words on this? Good one. It's just everything about it just makes me scratch my head. It's a crazy console. I seriously pinch myself every time I look at a picture of the thing, the way it works. It's like, it's hard to believe this is a real thing coming out in my lifetime. The giant controller and like, it streams stuff from the console, but it's not a portable console like people seem to think. And it has the line drawing game and the one where you dodge the darts, which everyone loves so much. The kids love playing that. it's just a crazy thing. Oh, can you do centimeter mode now? That's another update. You have to buy it.
That's the sequel.
You know, that's the metric version you have to upgrade to. It's just a crazy thing.
The sequel is make a square.
And draw a circle. Triangle mode for the bonus. Can you imagine like 2x bonuses and stuff popping up on the screen? Like, you're so good at drawing lines, the right length and stuff. It gives you like combo bonuses and stuff.
You didn't care at all.
Explosions on the screen and like hookers stripping and stuff in the background. It's just a crazy thing.
Yeah, go on.
It's a crazy thing, and they talk about the hardcore market. When I think about the hardcore of anything, they generally want like the carbon fiber, this and that. They want it light and stripped down and to the bone, you know, forged titanium. They don't want this giant plastic thing.
Sorry, Jordan, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm kind of siding with you. What the hell is hardcore these days? Like hardcore gamers. I think a lot of people, when they think of hardcore gamers, they think of like just back on, I don't know, Super Nintendo or Atari 2600, where you just do the same old repetitive... I'm sorry, but when people think hardcore, do they think the original Metal Gear, like one of the most awfulest games ever made? Is that what classifies hardcore, doing menial repetitive tasks that make you have like stress and lead to tumors because they're just, the game is so hardcore, they don't really tell you how to play it, there is no clues, you have to tap on the wall 30 times until it opens up. Is that what hardcore is these days? I don't really get like... You get Microsoft, it's like, oh, Microsoft aren't hardcore. Is Gears of War hardcore? Nah, Gears of War's too easy. You know, this isn't hardcore. Or PS3 isn't hardcore. Why not? Oh, there's too much. What the hell is hardcore? It's like
PC
indie.
Gaming. That's where it's at.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When I think of a hardcore gamer, I think of that guy, you know, just playing on their PC, their, you know, maybe, you know, a 15 to 22 inch screen with the mouse, the special mouse, and with the special keyboard and all in super, you know, high resolution graphics that they build themselves and all that stuff. That's what I think when somebody says PC, not PC gaming, a hardcore gamer.
Then I can no longer classify myself as a hardcore gamer. I should just shut the show down and give it to someone hardcore, because quite frankly, I can't stand these games anymore. I don't have the patience. Like, I don't have the time in my life to spend 50 hours learning how to play StarCraft, then spend another 500 hours playing StarCraft, and then it is your life. I think to become a real hardcore gamer, it is your life, and I just... Actually,
yeah, exactly.
I can't think of anything. Actually, I can think of a lot of things worse, like AIDS and that kind of stuff. But I can't think of anything worse in terms of, you know, being a gamer, that kind of thing. I mean,
genocide.
if people are into it, you know, it's whatever gets you off. But yeah, No, I am so not hardcore.
If may I interrupt you real quick? Yeah, I have never considered myself a hardcore gamer, especially because I had like a period of 5+ years where I didn't really touch a console to play more than 2 or 3 hours, you know, on a time, and I didn't own a console for most of my life. There was a big period of time where I didn't have any consoles, and I just consider myself just like casual gamer, but not like the family friendly casual gamer. You know, just a guy who turns on his PS3 and maybe plays a little, you know, Modern Warfare or Black Ops.
Same.
Or
yeah.
Or I've been actually playing one of those free games that they let you download from the PlayStation Network, the infamous one. It seems like a pretty cool concept, pretty cool game, and yeah, you don't have to spend a lot of time learning how to, you know, do your powers or whatever you have to do, and yeah, it's an easy enough for you not to have to be there, you know, 4 or 5 hours at a time trying to figure out how to do one thing, and that's what I don't like.
Javier, I just think we're too old, you know, we just don't, or maybe it's just having a life. I don't know, either one of those things.
Once you cross that threshold when you are out of high school, your work pretty much doubles. Yeah, it's like you either have to study full time and go to school and maybe a part time job, like, yeah. I'm pretty sure you're gonna get pretty soon.
I've got one. But that's the point, you know. It's, I don't really want to sound like I'm insulting anyone, because you know that's what you want to do and that makes you happy. I've no right to judge you or, you know, undermine your life or anything, but it's just, it's, you know, it's something I really can't really imagine doing. But Javier, I think we've got we had a separate argument going on in the background in the chat here between Jordan and Toby over, you know, what's real hardcore. Jordan insists on iOS being real hardcore. Toby insists on PS on the PC being real hardcore. It's I think games can't really be. Games are as big as any other industry in the world right now, and there is something for everyone, really. You know, there's something for your casual, you know, woman who works at the office and plays solitaire, or, you know, or the Facebook games. That's a whole giant industry of games, you know. So I don't think hardcore can really be defined. I think it's maybe old school, maybe classic style of gaming, you know, that kind of thing. But
That'll be something different.
Again, yeah. Games, there are games for anyone and everyone these days. You know, it's such a huge market. And I definitely do think, you know, like, and then again, we get into this debate, which is going on in the background right now. What's a real game? Like, I think iOS games are real games, and PC games are real games, but is a PC game any realer than an iOS game? I think it all depends on the person. You know, if a person can spend hundreds of hours playing Angry Birds, I think that game is as real to that person as WoW is to the person who spends hundreds of hours playing that, and that game is as real as someone who's playing Wii Sports, you know, and enjoying it. So mm-hmm. I think They're all, as long as you're interacting with something which brings you enjoyment, I think you can't say that's a real game. That's not a real game, because games are just so massive these days. Jordan.
Yeah, I wouldn't say exactly that iOS games that I've seen are hardcore. Like, I think it's kind of easy to define, really. Hardcore gaming has always been PC gaming, right? That's always been the highest resolution, and the people that have got all the joysticks for the flight simulators, and they've got some of them we like, the rumble pad headphones thing that vibrate, you wear it on your body so it vibrates, and it just sounds crazy to me, but again, these people are hardcore, and I don't exactly think they're that popular, but they're hardcore, right? You've got the giant, you know, the tower PC case. It's got all the, like, LED fans on it. It's liquid cooled, this, and you've got at least 2 graphics cards worth $1,000 a piece. Hardcore gaming, it's like Linux, you know. It's not really going to go anywhere commercially as a market, is it? It's always been Windows and Mac. Yeah, but it's free, but they can't give it away, apparently, you know.
Yeah. I've actually got a Linux machine right here. But that's I'm not trying to be like, you know, an asshole. Your point, but that's only because
mm-hmm. Oh no, I've got Ubuntu on my yeah. iMac. It's just you know, it's not. No one thinks it's really going to go anywhere. Right. I don't think all the world's going to throw out their consoles and buy, you know, a computer with a, you know, $1,000 graphics cards apiece.
But I do think when people say PC gaming is, I think people have been saying PC gaming is dead for the last 20 years, ever since the console was created. I think ever since the PC gaming was created, people were saying it's dead. And I think PC gaming is going to die because of the hardcore people. I think PC gaming, because PC gaming used to be the, Toby, I'm going to let you talk in just a second. PC gaming used to be the big, big, big thing where I remember going into a shop back in like early 2000s and there would be every single kind of game that you can only get on PC. There'll be puzzle games, party games, weird strategy games, every single type of simulator. PC game had its own huge sub contingency, and you know, and so I think they will always be around. I think PC gaming now is like Facebook gaming, you know, that seems to be a subcategory of it. It just evolves. I think it will always be around. Toby.
Yeah, I'm not trying to like suggest like, you know, PC gaming is the only type of gaming, and there shouldn't be other games. Like, I enjoy everything across all platforms, but I do kind of want to, you know, say something when people disregard it and say, oh, it's a dying market, or, you know, it's not worth, you know, thinking about in terms of, I mean, just something like, I'm not a big fan of WoW, I'll put it out there, but, you know, you got 12 million players, and that's just one MMO, you know, yeah. And there's so much going on PC, Steam, you know, there's so many games going on there, you know. It's the only platform where you're regularly getting free content instead of, you know, paid for content on the consoles. And there's just so much there. It's so much more user experience for those who want it, you know, be able to tweak it.
Toby, when you mean getting free content, what context do you mean that in? What do you mean, free games?
Well, for instance, well, I mean, yeah, I guess so. But also, like, you know, a lot of PC games and developers, stuff that will come out when multi-platform games... when sort of DLC comes out and updates, you'll have to buy it on the consoles, but it will come out free. For instance, Left 4 Dead.
I do think that, you know, with Android and mobile games and iOS, I think that's there as well, where, you know, you purchase a game and all the updates are free, you know, and you get, you know, you have to buy content in there as well. But I don't know.
Yeah, but obviously. Yeah, it's kind of a different thing with the iOS, because I'm not saying they're not proper games, they're just a very different type of game, yeah. And they're not the level of, you know, of games. Yeah, and I just, you know, I don't like to disregard it, because I think PC gaming is great, and I love all platforms, and I think, you know, there should be developers out there for doing everything.
Definitely. All right, Javier.
Yeah, I wanted to say pretty much something similar, which is that all this time I always thought that PC gaming was more where everything was gonna go into, because it seems more universal, more like you can play any game at any time, and you know, it's pretty much like one a computer seems to me like a one console that can play all games from all platforms. And I had this belief until up to maybe when they came out with the Nintendo Wii, which was like a really different kind of interface.
Yeah.
But even with the Wii, I think there is some way that you can plug it into a computer and you can play it. Because of emulators and all these other things, it seems like a computer could play anything. Not trying to promote piracy here.
Yeah,
but,
I was just about
you could get games for free from the internet and play them on your PC.
You see, Javier, I mean, 6-7 years ago, before this generation, I would have completely agreed with you in terms of, you know, yeah, you can. I mean, well, no, okay, say. The legality with emulators and stuff, if you own the console and you own the games, that's all legal. So say, you know, you own those, you know, you can play any console as long as you own it. And if people choose to buy, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get into the legality. Everyone knows it. But the point is, you know, back then, yeah, the PC was the player of everything. But these days, with, you know, the consoles have become so advanced as well. You know, you jailbreak your PS3, you can play, you know, you can play all these emulators. You know, you can play all these old games as well. So it's, it seems like consoles themselves, you know, the more sophisticated they become, the more the piracy advances them and that kind of stuff. So it's the battleground is, I think the battleground is really, really involved in that sense. Okay, guys. Again, we've got like a background debate here. Anyone want to reveal what you guys are arguing about now? No? Okay. Right. So let's wrap this up, guys. I want to go around and I want to, first of all, I'm going to ask for biggest surprise this E3 from you, and then I'm going to ask for biggest disappointment E3 from you. So, and we're going to see how that stacks up. So first of all, Toby, biggest surprise.
Surprise. Damn, that's hard. Can I? Surprise. I guess the Wii U would be my biggest surprise. Despite all the rumors, you know, that it would have touchscreen, I didn't actually quite believe it, and stuff like that. But they have. And biggest disappointment would probably. It's hard. I mean, I liked a lot of stuff at this year's E3. I guess. I had a disappointment in Hitman and that they weren't really sort of bigging it up and showing it much, but that's my stuff.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Javier, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment?
Biggest surprise for me, I would have to give it to Kojima because I didn't think that he would be interested into, you know, developing an engine or a way to play your games on a PSP, your PS3 games. So I think that would be my biggest surprise. I actually thought he wasn't going to be doing much anymore, that he was just going to enjoy his Metal Gear Solid Millions. And my biggest disappointment was basically not being able to see more about the Wii U and see what they could do with it, you know, being able to see exactly what it is,
mm-hmm.
How you're gonna play it with the screen and all that stuff, you know, that would be part of, you know, my biggest disappointment.
Oh, very interesting. Jordan, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment?
Well, my biggest surprise is finding that I'm not the only one with emotions on the Patriot cast, and, you know, the little boy that cries and gets lonely and scared by Metal Gear Solid 1, that Javier also has this emotion called love and that he loves us all. And that is very nice. And I'm sad for Andrew. I think that almost counts as a disappointment. He didn't get told that, you know, on the last episode because he wasn't there. But seriously, the biggest surprise, probably what the Wii U looks like, the crazy console thing. The controller, everything, it's just, I wouldn't have been able to imagine that a company would seriously release something that looks like that. This wide, like, giant thing with a 6.2-inch screen on it, and everything about it is just crazy to me. Biggest disappointment? I think Microsoft didn't really have anything amazing for the Xbox or anything out of the main sort of console platforms. I guess I would have liked to have seen more for the Vita. I guess you could also say the Wii U was a disappointment, to give it both, for the games. The lion drawing game, the arrow dodging game, you know.
I knew it's this was going to happen. I should have did disappointments in plural. You just listed 5 disappointments.
I'll end it there then.
Right, okay. I guess I should chime in a bit. Biggest surprise. You know, the Wii U, actually, I think I'm the only one. It actually turned out exactly what I thought it was going to be, because I just believed what they said on paper. They said the controller was going to have a screen in it. And I imagined to myself a controller was going to have a screen in it. I actually imagined it like an iPad with buttons. What do you know? You get a tablet with buttons. Okay. You know, so it's... if anything, maybe I thought the Wii was going to have more unreleased stuff, but they actually said everything. The cafe had it on paper. Biggest surprise... I think my biggest surprise is, I think all the surprises this year have been disappointing as well. I think I'm gonna mix surprise and disappointment into one as well. Biggest surprise / disappointment was not seeing Rising, Kojima not contributing. Biggest surprise / disappointment, no GTA, no new GTA game. Biggest surprise / disappointment, no, just. I think. Unfortunately, this E3 for me has been really weak. It's been full of surprising disappointments, based on the lack of things. So I don't really know. It's, yeah. I don't know, Toby, let's wrapping the show, seeing that, you know, you've been there, what's your feeling this E3? What do you think? Are you surprised, disappointed?
I guess there's a slight sense of disappointment in terms of those big things, no GTA and, you know, a little bit over the Wii U. But having said that, there were a hell of a lot of awesome games announced, you know, Far Cry 3, not announced, but shown, Mass Effect 3, Bioshock Infinite, Aliens Colonial Marines, Battlefield 3. There's so much cool stuff there, and it's all looking really good. There seems to be a generally quite a high quality of games coming out this winter and the beginning of next year, and I think we've got a lot to look forward to, and Skyrim as well. That looks amazing.
Mm. Right. So, I mean, overall, you know, you're happy with this with the E3.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made up for the money you spent on the tickets and stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you're gonna go back next year?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Hopefully. Oh,
nice. Maybe next year the Patriot Cast will be able to join you. You know, maybe get Javier. Yeah.
We were working out a plan for it the other night.
Well, you know, the thing is, we just need to get more listeners. That's the thing. We just need to get more listeners, and I don't even know how. Everyone seems to hate us. Anyway,
so, like I said before, just whoever's listening, recommend this show to one friend and tell them you like it, and that's it.
Yeah, I've been saying that for the last year. It doesn't seem to be working at all, so I don't really know. It's sometimes it's just
talk about more games.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so that's the wrap up show. It's been an interesting E3, guys. Does anyone have any final thoughts on the matter here? Anyone? No one? Jordan? No? Okay. Yes.
Well, at least if nothing else, with the PSV, we've got plenty of rear end jokes to come up.
Yes. Oh yeah. Okay. Anyway, so guys, thank you very much. Oh yeah, Jordan. Game recommendations. Is that like...
Woo! I'm like, no!
I was actually thinking you were going to ignore him.
I've put out there, I was like, anyone have anything to say? Jordan's saying it, but he's writing it, but he's not saying it. Jordan, do you want
to... was busy.
I don't know if I was allowed to jump in and talk over the host, because yeah. I have been interrupting a lot of people, and, no, you know, this is... I get to reveal my emotions at the end of the show, and, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I love you all just as much as Javier does. And as well as that lonely, scared little boy, there's also a lot of love in my heart. And it's generally reserved for Apple products, don't get me wrong, but I love you guys, so it's great to be here. And I'm sorry for interrupting the show.
Do you have any game recommendations?
No. I just want to tell everyone I love them. Okay. No, I wanted to have a game recommendation. The latest hit for iOS, that little, you know, that game platform that's not going to go anywhere. It's called Parachute Ninja, and I discovered it last night. And I was up till, you know, I always try to go to bed nice and early after brushing my teeth for the Patriot Cast in the morning. I spring out of bed for that. And I couldn't get to sleep, so I thought, well, I could always just sort of rehearse the show in my head, you know. Hey, Jordan, do you have any opinions? It sucks. Okay, Jordan, do you have any opinions? It sucks. You know how the Patriot Cast goes by now, the format. But Parachute Ninja, it's a great game, and it's kind of like a cut the rope sort of style thing. I believe someone in the chat's asking if it only plays on iOS 4. No, it'll probably play on iOS 5 as well.
Jordan, Javier is right. As the person who's asking, it's getting more and more problematic every time I want to buy a game, and I'm on iOS 3 because being on iOS 4.
I've got a 3G!
I've got an iPhone 3G, and iOS 4 cripples my system to the point of I just can't use it.
Because it's got an iOS 3!
It's so slow, I can't use it. I'd like to be on iOS 4, but it just impossibly gimps it. It breaks its legs and leaves it to die in a ditch. that's what it's like using the system. So, unfortunately, and it seems like more and more these days, I'm like, oh, I want to buy this game. You know, oh, there's this new Marvel game, iOS 4 or above. I can't, you know, I can, like, buy 40% of all the games, even less these days. But, iOS 4.
Yeah, it's almost like you need to buy a new device every now and then, you know. It's like a PS1 sort of thing.
Every time Steve Jobs tells you, every other month when the new phone comes up.
Every few years, sure. Well, you know, we are onto the iPhone 5 practically now as soon as it drops, so number 2 is kind of old now. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think, how many years is that? 3, 4, 5, you know, it's quite a few years old, that device, so I can understand that. But, you know, RAM and everything. I believe, I don't see any reason. I mean, it's a tiny game. It's 12 megabytes, guys, with, you know, render display graphics. It's amazing. But the general gameplay is you're a little ninja dot thing. It's all really cool animation styles and everything. And you fling yourself using sort of like elastic band kind of things. You have to jump and avoid them. So that makes it kind of like a doodle jump thing, if you imagine that. You're jumping from sort of elastic band platform to elastic band platform, trying to avoid the water and collecting fireflies. And the thing that makes it fun is when you're in the air, you're a ninja, and you've got a parachute, and it's sort of like a paper umbrella-looking thing. It's really cool. And so when you're in the air, you just have to touch the screen to deploy the parachute, and then you can tilt the device to sort of float back down again. Mm-hmm. So the gameplay is sort of propelling yourself up with elastic bands, and then you sort of float down generally, and you have to avoid sort of spikes and things. And it's a really awesome game, and it's free at the moment, like all... you know, like a huge amount of iOS stuff. I mean, there's a million awesome games that are free. It's got really awesome graphics. It's just like the perfect game, and it's 12 megabytes. It's awesome, and it is a proper game. I've already been playing this for at least an hour last night, you know, in the dark. It was great, so I really recommend Parachute Ninja. And for everyone that downloads it for free, the Patriot Cast gets a 50% cut, so why not get it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Have you?
No, just checked. The game works in iOS 3. I asked the iOS 4 because, yeah, it seems like a lot of games now just play on iOS 4. And when Jordan told me about Infinity Blade, I was like, okay, sounds cool. And then I tried, and it's only for iOS 4. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck this. You know, I can't do iOS 4. So
yeah,
I'm dirt poor. I'm not going to buy another iPhone until it comes on T-Mobile or until T-Mobile is absorbed by AT&T, whatever is going to happen. Then I'm going to buy the iPhone 4.
Unfortunately, unlike Jordan, we're not all New Zealand vegan tycoons. You know,
these furniture tycoons.
Yeah, you know, you get the iPad here and you get the iMac there and you get the iPhone 4 there and then you get the old... geo tracking there, and you know, all this stuff takes a lot of money.
I want to explain geocaching, you know, that thing that runs on an iOS. You know, it's not you can't do it on the PS3 or the GameCube or the hardcore PC gaming. You need a mobile device for it. So it's this little thing called iOS, you know, this thing that
you can just use a GPS.
GPS doesn't have apps. And it costs the same price. So, yeah, it's just this little thing called an iPod Touch. You know, it's $200 American. I think kidneys will get at least $1,000 for the damn thing. And you got two of them. Come on, Javier. Or sell those kids into bondage or something. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Have them like...
Right.
Jesus.
Making car parts. I hear Detroit needs new workers right now. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, this week I continue on recommending L.A. Noire because L.A. Noire is an amazing game. I've been playing it in my free time. And anyone else got L.A. Noire here except me?
Yeah, I've got it. I'll halfway through it.
How far are you? Are you on Vice yet?
Yeah,
just got Vice. I just got on Vice. Yeah, it's L.A. Noire is where it's at. Gentlemen, why don't you have L.A. Noire yet? Have you?
Like I said, mine is on queue because I have a Gamefly. I decided to not buy so many games this year, and I just signed up for Gamefly. So mine's on queue right now. The only one they could send me was was Dead Space, the first Dead Space.
Right.
So I still have to play that one. So Gamefly Jordan, for people who don't know what Gamefly is, it's like Netflix but for video games. You can go and sign up. Sometimes there's this free for a month, and you can rent games. I actually told my wife to recommend it to one of the little boys that she works with because he was being taken advantage by Blockbuster Video charging like $40 to rent a game every time.
And around?
I told her to. Some of them they're dying at least they're already dying little by little and painfully and slowly they're dying. Thankfully. Gamefly, I recommend people get that because even if you don't get the latest game when you want to get it, you still get, you know, you can get games from them and you don't have to buy them. You can just play it and return it.
All right, excellent. Jordan, why no L.A. Noire?
Because I'm playing proper games, Andrew. No, 12 megabyte games, Andrew.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't like playing in with the cool kids and getting these fancy new games that cost 120 New Zealand dollars when I can get a free game that's awesome and I'll enjoy more. I do plan on getting it one day eventually, you know, when I have a PlayStation 4 and I have to have PlayStation 3 backwards compatibility. And also, I was initially a bit afraid of it overheating my original PS3 because all the rumors about it making them belch fire out that's the side fine. Vent and stuff.
It's never done over mine.
Okay. Well, I look forward to getting it eventually, and I have been keeping up with it, and people seem to like this game. So
it's definitely very good. Toby, we're halfway through it. That's pretty good stuff.
We could do a little review.
Yeah, let's do a review. Next week. You start off.
Oh no! I mean, like next week, when we both completed it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I probably won't do it by next week.
Next.
But no, it's just generally, it's a great game, isn't it?
Really, really cinematic and. Oh,
yeah. Great face. Just the face.
They're insane. Every game needs that. Every single game needs it.
It's the little things like when you're driving around and you see like the hubcaps and like the actual the street reflects in real time from the wheels. You know, it's the little things. It's really a great game. You know, just whenever things start to get a bit slow, you're like, I've asked too many questions. You have to chase a dude or shoot him or just tackle him to the ground or you know I think that's a real game. You know, if there was ever a definition,
it's kind of what Heavy Rain wanted to be. I mean, I liked Heavy Rain, but this is a better version of Heavy Rain.
I've still got to play Heavy Rain because I got a copy.
Chocolate Rain.
I got Heavy Rain, but the copy I got was scratched or something. So as the guy was taking the shower in the beginning, it kept on freezing. So.
Oh, shame you didn't get to the bit where the girl has the shower. It's still a great game, but I think L.A. Noire kind of really pulls this kind of genre forward, like this sort of, it's not really an interactive movie, but you know what I mean, it's edging that direction. But
the thing is, it can be an interactive movie if you want, for example, when I'm having lunch and I don't want to play it, I just like get the other person to drive or, you know, just because a lot of...
I find it really fun. It's really fun to like play with someone else. Like you can sit by them and still.
Yeah.
And kind of,
I think that game can be. It's great as a multiplayer, even though it's one player, because, you know, it's all about. There isn't a huge amount of action. You know, it's all about thinking like, which question should I ask? Well, you know, it can definitely be a multiplayer game without the actual multiplayer aspect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah, it's like a decent board game. You know, it's like an exciting board game.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. Anyway, so guys, let's wrap this up. As always, it's been great talking to you. This is quite a long Patriot cast. So yep. Anyway, next week, hopefully we'll be back. I don't know if I'm going to be back. I'm going to be working next week, probably after the exams end. But anyway, the gentleman here will have the floor as always. So you know, tell your friends, all that kind of stuff. Blah 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 blah. Guys, thank you as always for being.
Yeah, that's how we're going to get more listeners. Blah 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 blah.
I'm making you general in charge of promoting the show, because I've been trying to for a year and I've just been getting nothing but hatred from people.
Listen, this is the simple thing. Everyone who's listening out there, if you want this show to keep going, if you want us to keep being interested on doing this every Saturday, which I'm pretty sure we all love doing it, but if there's not enough people doing it, we're not gonna do it anymore. Just tell one friend. This is not the Patriotcast that used to do only Metal Gear anymore. We do everything now. So tell one friend that these guys now do everything, and tell them you like it, and tell them it's pretty good. If you like it, one of your friends is gonna like it. Definitely, I can bet that's true.
And if you don't like it, say what you don't like about it, and say what you do like about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Javier's completely right. You know, if people just if less and less people keep on listening, we're just gonna have to. the show is not going to live past this, you know, the summertime. So it's because, you know, we're just not going to talk about ourselves, you know, it's to us.
We are.
Yeah. me and Jordan are just going to go back to doing the Michael Jackson podcast.
Yay!
Just, that's been kind of on the shelf.
Well, and we also have the movie Patriots, too.
We still have the movie Patriots, which unfortunately we won't be able to do this week. I'm just so damn tired. I'll have to hold it back. See, the thing is, you see, that's my problem. I start so many podcasts and then they just die off. And anyway, maybe me and Jordan will one day get back to the casual talk show, or I don't know. That'd be great. Anyway. So, thank you very much for listening to the show as always, and we will see all of you guys next time.
I consider myself a nerd.